Begin reading in verse number 8 of the 26th Psalm written by David. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. Written by David many, many, many years ago, about 3,000 years ago. Preserved for us by God Himself in this book that we read from. Go across the page to the 27th Psalm. Again, this is a Psalm of David. Subject matter is very similar. In verse number 4 of Psalm 27, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. When the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. Now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. We stop reading with verse number 6, and we want to preach to you today about David's mind and David's heart that he expresses in these two psalms. He expresses it in other places, but these two are so closely related. I want to preach on this. I preached this down in Louisville a few weeks ago, but I think it's needed here. I've been really troubled about what's in this, and desirous to help the church understand what God is speaking to us through his servant David. He's talking about in chapter 26, I've loved the habitation of thy house. Now, if you've read the life of David, you know that there was no tabernacle. You know also there was no temple. David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and we'll read about that later, but God forbid him from doing that. What's he talking about? What is he expressing to himself in this psalm to encourage himself and those around him? What does he mean when he says, Lord, I've loved habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth? Was he speaking in a sense of something yet future? We know that later on, though he couldn't build the temple, Solomon, his son, would build it. And David was very much involved in that as far as the material was concerned. God wouldn't let him build a house, but he didn't forbid him to provide a lot of the material that went into that house. But David had a love for the habitation of the Lord. Now we know he speaks often of God's habitation in heaven. David knew the Lord and he loved the Lord, and he spoke often of the Lord and his presence. Back in the 23rd Psalm, notice this, in the very last verse of the 23rd Psalm, verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It wasn't talking about, I don't believe, some structure somewhere. But talking about even the future temple, because it goes past the temple, does it not? I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's what I want you to think about this morning. David wrote of his love for the habitation of the Lord. And yet he had nothing but a tent. If you study back in 2 Samuel, you'll see that they made a trip down to the land of the Philistines. Actually, they didn't have to go that far, but they had to go and recover the ark. They didn't have the badger skins and the beaver skins and all the things that covered the tabernacle. They didn't have the boards that were overlaid with gold, but they had the tabernacle. They had the Ark of the Covenant, which was the center of God's dwelling place in the time of Moses. When God told Moses, instructed him to build him a tabernacle where he would dwell with the children of Israel, you know where he began? He didn't begin with a tent outside that would keep people out, and he didn't begin with the laver where the priests would have to use. He began in the very center with the Ark of the Covenant. The place where God would come down in the Shekinah glory eventually and fill that tabernacle. He'd come down between those arms there on the ark, and he would reveal himself to Israel in his glory. And yet David says, I've loved the habitation of the house. What's he talking about? As we read in the scriptures, when he brought that Ark of the Covenant up out of the land where Saul and his foolishness had taken it down and the Philistines had taken it away from Israel, and there were many years without an ark. David recovered it and brought it home after a few mistakes he made. Remember, they put it on a cart. We're going to pull it up, and one of the men reached forth his hand to touch the ark and steady it because he thought it was going to fall over, and God struck him dead. The Bible says David was afraid of the Lord. A lot of lessons in that. Here he is trying to do what he thought was right, but he directly disobeyed the teachings through Moses that no man would touch that ark except those that God said would touch it. And this man was not one of those men, and God struck him dead. Now we know God is a holy God. But David says, I've loved the habitation of that house. When he brought that tabernacle up to Jerusalem, he put it in a tent. That's what the Bible says. He put it in a tent. Now they had the ark. They had the place of the golden mercy seat, but they had to put it in a tent. Is that what David's talking about? I think not. But he says, I've loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Now, David wanted to build a house of cedar for the Lord. You remember that when he finished his house after 13, it took him 13 years to build his house there in Jerusalem. And then he kind of got to feeling bad. He got feeling guilty. And he said, here I am dwelling in a house of cedar, and God dwells in a tent. So he said, we're going to build a house for the Lord. And he told the prophet. The prophet said, go ahead. And then God told the prophet, uh-uh. He's not going to build me a house. And he stopped it. He didn't want a house of cedar. And he promised David that his son would build him a house. But more than that, he said, David, I'm going to build you a house. A house that will go on forever. Now that's key. What's he talking about? This thing's making a lot of racket for some reason. Bear with me. I'm going to build you a house, David. And through your lineage, that house will go on forever. So with that understanding, we know that God was talking about more than Solomon's temple, talking about more than the tabernacle. But David said, I have loved the habitation of thine house. Now I want you to think about this today, because If David loved the habitation of God's house and all he had was a tent, what should be our state of mind? Where should our heart be? One thing have I desired, he says in Psalm 27. One thing have I desired in verse 4, of the Lord that I may seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, and behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. And then he says in Psalm 23, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So there's something deep here, something beyond what we just normally grasp. He wanted to dwell in the house of the Lord to behold his beauty, he says in verse 4. He wanted to behold the beauty of the Lord. Can you imagine what it was like when Solomon erected that temple with most of the material that David had provided, the gold and the silver? And the inside of that most holy place was covered with solid gold, and there was only one light in there, the candlestick. How beautiful that inner sanctum, that Holy of Holies must have been. But it's more than that. Because that's soon, and this is an amazing thing. When you look in the book of Chronicles, in the last chapter of 1 Chronicles, you'll see David as they begin that temple and all the enthusiasm and all the joy and the people bringing all the things. They're going to build a temple to the Lord. And you look in the last chapter of 2 Chronicles and you'll see the Babylonians raise it to the ground and set it on fire. Now, the period of about 400 years, that's all it was. That glorious temple. All the gold and silver and all the precious jewels that were involved in that thing, it lasted about 400 years. David wasn't talking about that. He's talking about something, beloved, that we should be able to identify with ourselves personally. And if David loved the habitation of God's house with what limited information or what limited he had there, how much more should we love the habitation of the Lord's house as we look at the truth in the Word of God? He wanted to behold the beauty of the Lord. What does the Bible tell us in Ephesians 3 and verse 20? Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. That's the way it is. Do you realize that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a real vision that David was seeing, where he loved. He didn't see it with his physical eye. But notice in verse 5 of chapter 27, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. Where does the Lord shelter his people today? Where's the one place that those who've been saved by the grace of God can find shelter and provision? Is it not the church of the Lord Jesus Christ? Do we not have more than David ever dreamed of? David was a king and he had money and silver and gold beyond measure. But beloved, life is not about silver and gold beyond measure. It's not about money. It's about something much more important than that. Because verse 5 is true in our life in the time of trouble. If you haven't had trouble yet, you're going to. Just a matter of time. He shall hide me. What great confidence David had in his God. He'll hide me. In his pavilion, in the secret of his tabernacle, he shall hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I want to preach to you today about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ as compared to what David saw in his vision, his understanding of the Scripture. To behold the beauty of the Lord. All David had was a little tent there in Jerusalem. He set up special for that ark when they brought it in with singing and with dancing. And they were so excited and they were so happy. They had the ark of the Lord back and they put it in a tent. They didn't even have a house for it. David said in verse 7 of chapter number Psalm 27, Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidest, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What about you today? The Lord's still saying to us, seek my face. Is he not? Is that not a desire of the Lord to every born-again sinner that he's brought out of the depths of wickedness and sin and ungodliness? Undeservedly, we don't deserve it, but he calls upon us to seek his face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. What about you today? You seeking the Lord, or are you satisfied? You satisfied just to be a member of the Lord's church? I said, you don't have an iota of understanding about what the church is all about. This is an eternal institution that's going to go on and on and on. And you, if you're saved by God's grace, and if you're a member of this body, you have a great and a glorious privilege beyond what David ever had. You see, David was never in a church. He was never a member of the Lord's body. This is a New Testament doctrine. It wasn't an Old Testament doctrine. He was saved. He loved the Lord. He loved the habitation of his house. But he didn't really understand the fullness of what we can understand today. What did David do in the habitation of his house? Well, he says, I've loved the habitation. But then he goes on in chapter number 37. He says this in verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies. Round about me therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. Where's your sacrifice today? Are you bored? Does it bother you to sit in the house of God? Where's your joy? You say you're saved. You say God quickened you and made you alive. Where's your joy? I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Where's your singing? You go through the motions. Don't even think about the words. How great thou art. Where is your heart? You are part of something very much beyond your understanding, and very glorious and holy, and yet you can't even grasp it, seemingly. David knew more about it than we do. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. We come into this place time and again. It's called the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us in Acts number 20, which he purchased with his own blood. The church is a glorious thing. But I dare say that most people who are members of the Lord's church don't have a clue about what's going on. David said, I'll seek thy face. Are you seeking God's face? How do you come into God's house? Is it a duty, a solemn duty that you go through but you don't have much enthusiasm for? And when you leave, are you glad to get away? I'm speaking pretty plain today. When you leave the house of God where the glory of God is manifested, are you relieved to get out of the presence of God because you're going back out of that world that has such a hold on you? God's dwelling in the day we're living is not in a tent in Jerusalem. It's not in a temple in Jerusalem. It's not in Herod's temple, which was existent in the days of the Lord Jesus Christ. God's habitation is his churches. I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's going to go on and on and on. It'll never cease to exist. Now the church itself, the people, may all die out. But the Lord's going to dwell with these people forever. And those that are in his church are a special people. You may not understand this, but as Brother Garner Smith used to say, if you're a member of the Lord's church, you're the elect of the elect. God not only saved you from your sins, but he chose you and set you in his body, in his dwelling place. I know it's easy and words are easy, but David could say a lot of things, but David acted on what he said, did he not? God sent word to him, you can't build that house for me. You can't build me a house of cedar. I don't want it. And then he said, I'm going to build you a house. And he was talking about the Lord Jesus Christ coming into this world and the Lord Jesus Christ building his church. And for 2,000 years, God has been dwelling in this earth in his churches. The temple lasted about 400 years. The tabernacle about 40 years in the wilderness. They still had pieces of it, I'm sure. The Ark of the Covenant was still very real. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ has been going on for 2,000 years, and it continues to this day, and it'll continue till he comes. His churches will be here when he comes. And beloved, if you're saved and God put you in this church, you have a great privilege, and you need to recognize that. And God help you to understand just how precious it is to be in the midst of God's dwelling place where he dwells every time we come together. Where two or three are gathered together, they'll be in the midst. He's promised us that. He's here today. Do we recognize him? Are we even conscious of his presence? Do we even remember what he said? Every time you come together, I'll be in your midst. He's been doing that for thousands of years. And when the rapture takes place, it's not over. Now, the church is no longer on earth. His people are going to be taken out. But you read the book of Revelation, we'll get to that later. If you read the book of Revelation, you'll see the church after chapter number 3. You're going to see the church of the Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Revelation. I've heard men say, well, after chapter 3 in Revelation, you never see a church again. They just don't know how to read the Bible, I guess. When you compare what David said with our time, you should come to this conclusion. He saw, as a prophet, when God told him, I'm going to build you a house. The Bible says David went into the temple of God, that tent, and he sat down and he said to the Lord, Lord, who am I? Who am I that you should do this for me? Has that ever humbled you? As a person that God saved from your sin, justified you from all things that you'll never be brought up again, gave you eternal life and promised you all the blessings of God. Has it ever occurred to you to just humble yourself and say, Lord, why have you done this for me? That's what David did. Who am I? Many profess to be saved today. I'm thankful for everyone that saves. I'm not judging anybody's heart. That's God's business. But as I said earlier, words, words, words. You know what God looks for? God looks on the heart, but he also looks on the actions. If you're a member of the Lord's church, if God sits you in his church, where should you be when Jesus Christ meets with these people? Where should you be? As much as in you is, where should you be when the Lord meets with his people? If you understand what David said, I've loved the habitation of the house. You should be right there because the Lord's there. But do we despise his dwelling place by choosing other things as more important than being with the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior? The one who loved us so much that he came into this world, offered himself as a sacrifice to God that we might have our sins completely put away and then put us into his church that we might serve him all the days of our life. Profession is easy, relatively speaking. But that's when the work begins. Where's your heart today? Is it like David? I've loved the habitation of that house. One thing of a desire to the Lord, that will I seek after. Are you seeking after what David sought after? That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life? All the days of my life. Are you dwelling in the house of the Lord? Are you just visiting occasionally? I'm getting plain, but I need to be plain. This is God's word. This is a precious thing I'm preaching to you. I want your attention. Where's your heart? Is it in the world? Is it in the Lord's house? He gave himself for his church. Acts chapter 20, he shed his own blood for it. Many profess to be saved, but they despise his dwelling place. They find a zillion reasons why they go somewhere else. When they know by the scriptures and from what they've heard and what they've been taught, they ought to be in God's house every time the doors are open. I'll never apologize for that. I've been preaching now for the last 42 years, and I'll keep on preaching it. It's God's word. It's what God would have for his people. It's where you'll have peace. It's where you'll have assurance. The New Testament church was not built by David, but I believe he had a vision of it. It was built by the Lord Jesus Christ. Solomon didn't build it. The Lord Jesus Christ built it. He built it out of precious things. Solomon built that temple out of gold and silver and precious stones and all that the people could bring. Beloved, Jesus built his church out of people. And God considers them precious. If you're saved, he considers you precious. So precious that he gave his life for you. And he put you in a church where you can grow in your love for him, and you can grow in your understanding of him, and you can be like David. You can love the habitation of his house. You don't want to miss church. Where's the heart of David in today's Christian? Where are the many when every Lord's Day, morning and evening, we meet here? Wednesday evening, prayer service, we're down to just a handful. Where are you on Wednesday evenings? What is it that's so important? I know some of you have to work, but what is it so important that keep you away from the habitation of the Lord, where the Lord is? You see, I'm afraid you haven't really grasped this. That's why I'm preaching this. Somehow you've overlooked the most valuable thing for any human being, and you put your emphasis on material things. You put your emphasis on money. You put your emphasis on recognition. You put your emphasis on this and that and the other. And yet you have one of the most precious things that a person can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. But everything seems to be more important. If you love the habitation of his house, you'll support it. Not only with your presence, but you look at 1 Chronicles in the last chapter, and you see how much money they brought in. My heavens. They finally had to stop the people. They wanted to be a part in building a house for the Lord. You just want to visit the church, or do you want to be a member? Does your arm visit your body? Or does it go with you everywhere you go? When you become a member of the Lord's church, it's described in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 as his body. You don't take your arm off and leave it at home. David loved the habitation in the Lord's house. Look around. He wasn't talking about a facility where we can meet like this, and it's nice, we know that. Can you imagine how our forefathers must have met in the state of Kentucky with no air conditioning? They didn't have the comforts that we have. And yet those comforts have taken people away. With all the comfort that we have, they still have a reason not to come. They're too busy. Their life is wrapped up in something else, and they've forgotten the Lord Jesus Christ who shed his blood for them that they might have this privilege. He's promised to hide us, but are we seeking his face? Now, I want you to turn with me to Revelation, chapter number 21. I want to show you the church. I want to show you the future of those who love the habitation of God's house on this earth. The Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 21, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. Now, if you read 2 Peter chapter 3, you'll see Peter's, and I preached a message on this several years ago, about Peter's nuclear sermon about the world passing away with a loud noise. And that's what this is talking away. It says, talking about the heaven and the earth, the first heaven and earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. They were all burned up, went out of existence. God created this world, and he's going to destroy this world. But he's going to create new heavens, new earth. But notice verse 2, and I, John, saw the holy city. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. I've loved the habitation of thine house. And I heard a great voice saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. And he shall dwell with them. They shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. This is not as it is today in spirit. This is in reality. Because it says, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. God's going to destroy this world we live on. He's going to create a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. That new Jerusalem is God's habitation. I believe it's a habitation that David, as a prophet, was expressing his love for. I've loved the habitation of thine house. It was future to David. It's future to the apostles, and the Lord was with them. But it's real here. It hasn't happened yet, but it's going to. Verse 6, and he said unto me, it is written, it is done, I'm Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But notice, he that overcometh. What is our responsibility? Eat, drink, and be merry. Enjoy life. Get the best out of it. Get all the gusto you can get. Is that what the Word of God teaches us? No. He that overcometh. Verse 8, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Notice, as we read further, the latter part of chapter 22, chapter 21, verse 22, and I saw no temple there, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. I've loved the habitation of thine house. There's no temple in heaven. There's no one like Solomon made, no tent like Moses constructed, nothing like Herod's temple. Not even a building like ours. No. The Lamb, the Lord God Almighty, and the Lamb are the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it. What's Ephesians 3, verse 20 say? Unto him be glory in the church throughout all ages, world without end. Here it is. They're still bringing glory to him. Verse 24, the nations, them which are saved, shall walk in the light of it. Now, there's the distinction here. The nations of them that are saved, like David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Old Testament saints, they'll walk in the light of it. And the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there be no night there. They shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. They shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they that are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Who's going to dwell in this new Jerusalem? Well, you have to turn back to find out that this new Jerusalem is the dwelling place of the bride. You find that back in verse 9 of chapter 21. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, and I'll show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. That's who's going to dwell there, the bride. Who is the bride? It's made up of the people and the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ who are faithful unto him, and they're going to dwell with him forever and ever because they love the habitation of his house here. And they're going to enjoy the habitation of his house in heaven forever. You can read the rest of that chapter and you'll find out the foundation of the stones of that city have in it the names of the 12 apostles. And we know Judas isn't there because he hanged himself. But we find his replacement, one of the 12. This city, beloved, it's the dwelling place of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is made up of those in the Lord's churches who love him. They love his house. They love the glory that's there. They want to behold it. They come and they sing. They sing praises unto God. They rejoice that he's with them. He's fulfilling his promise. Every time we come together, he's with us. Now, what are we going to do with this? You're going to go on in your indifference and slothful attitude, visiting the church when you feel like it? Or are you going to become a part of the member in the sense that it's precious to you? I'm a church man. I don't know if you understand that. I'm a church man. I believe in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that people who are members of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ ought to serve him in the church faithfully. Not on occasion, not like a visitor, not come when you want to, not come when it's convenient. You come because you give your life to him as he gave his life to you. This is the Lord's church. It's precious. I haven't even touched the surface what all is involved in this. The best of my ability, I've tried to show you through the words of the prophet David that he had a vision of this new Jerusalem. He loved it. You've been given a much clearer sight than he ever had. What's your feeling about it? You love it? You may not like this message. You may accuse me of being harpy. You know, I've just come to the point in my life where that can't affect me anymore. It just can't. I'm too near the end. I've got to keep on doing what I've done all these years. And if you don't accept it, you're your own person and you belong to God and God will deal with you. I'm just here to preach to you as best I know how. And to try to show you what a wonderful privilege you have. And to encourage you to take advantage of that privilege and give glory to God in your life. I've been a faithful member of his church where people can see your life. They can see what you love. And it's not yourself. It's not your family. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the test will come tonight when we again will gather to remember his death. You going to be here? You'll come to remember how much he means to you? You'll find some reason, well, I can't come tonight. I've got this or that or the other. I know. I've heard all the excuses. Made up a few of them myself. But this is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He loves it. He gave his life for it. You may think it too stringent, but as I heard a preacher say the other day, I didn't write the book. I just read it to you. I just try to show you. You want to be blessed now and forever? Follow the Lord Jesus. Give him everything you have. Give him the best of all that you have. Don't say, well, I trusted the Lord, but I can't go that far. Well, my friend, I just question whether you ever trusted the Lord at all. I'm sorry, I don't know your heart. God does. But if you're not willing to give him everything, then why did you profess to trust him in the first place? Because that's what it means to repent. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ means to give your all to him, to cast yourself totally upon him. Don't crawfish on it. If it's not real, you need to face it. As we stand singing hymn Imitation, bow your heads. Father, thank you for your